SAS, the most successful sports information system ever created. 25 straight years of winning. Featured on CNBC, Fox News, ESPN. SAS has not only shown profit every year since its inception, it is completely transparent, rating winners in unit values of 1 to 3 units, 3 units being a max play. SAS is releasing a 3-unit max play tonight absolutely free on a recorded message. Call now, 800-741-1122. Confident in this system and so certain of its results, they want you to try it absolutely free, no obligations. Call now and get the winner of Green Bay, Chicago tonight absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. Profits of 7 units tonight absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 1-800-741-1122. Green Bay, Chicago. Free.
Hey, Cub fans, now's the perfect time to get grilling with my friends at Grand Appliance and TV. Shop their large selection of in-stock options and take advantage of up to $100 in special in-store savings on most grill brands, along with free delivery and basic setup on any grill, $398 or more. Visit your nearest showroom or grandappliance.com. Grand Appliance and TV, the official appliance and electronics partner of Cubs Radio. You make it home, we make it grand.
It's finally here. Tonight, the NFL begins its 100th season in Chicago with the oldest rivalry in football, Bears-Packers. Listen to all of our shows and team of Bears experts as we get you ready for this huge matchup. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. Let's go! Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zipak. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and more. Tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Today is the day, finally. The Bears open up the regular season this evening at Soldier Field, where they will be hosting the hated Green Bay Packers, one of the best rivalries in all of American sports. And Green Bay leads the all-time series 97-95, so a little work to do. Bears tight end Trey Burton, a game-time decision for tonight, according to Matt Nagy. Other than that, Bears mostly all clear on the injury front. Over to baseball now. The Cubs will be in Wisconsin tonight as well. They open up a big four-game set tonight with the Brewers. Jose Quintana on the hill, and we'll have that game for you here on The Score later tonight. Despite being off last night, the Cubs picked up some ground in the division. St. Louis was beaten by San Francisco. Also picked up a little ground in the wild card race as Cincinnati defeated Philadelphia 8-5, and Washington lost to the New York Mets. Finally, the White Sox lost to Cleveland last night at Progressive Field 8-6. Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu both went deep in the losing effort. This scoreboard update brought to you by Neumel Medical Center. Discover the new you, NeumelMedical.com. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, home of Bears Mondays, presented by your local Ford dealers and the built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. This is The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Burris Equipment. Visit them at burrisequipment.com for details.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Florio writing articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Almost every time when we bring in Mike Florio, we say he is on the hotline. He's not. He's right here, sitting in between Bernstein and McKnight here at our special remote here at 1-2 Brew. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, it's great to be here. And what usually happens is, because I have an ISDN line that makes it sound like I'm in studio, so from time to time, somebody I know in Chicago will be like, hey, you're in town, and you... No, I wasn't in town. Now I can't use that excuse. I actually am in town.
God, you have to see people with like
we could have lied.
People are the worst.
You know, I always tell this story. Going back, I'm trying to remember what year you started the website. It was
2001.
Okay, right when you started, and I don't know how this began. That it was kind of a Wild West kind of thing, and there was, you know, the tone of it was a little different. You were an outsider, you know, aiming at the big guys, and there was some irreverence to it. And you used to use phrases for, like, you know, what I'm hearing is like one of my moles in Chicago or in Pittsburgh tells me this and tells me that. And I don't know how it got started, but somehow the rumor was, and people were telling me, like, everybody thinks, Bernstein, that you're Florio's Chicago guy. You're telling him stuff. And I'm like, come on, man. Really? Like, I'm on the air here. I would bid a Bears beat reporter. Don't you think if I had this stuff, I would be using it myself? That I wouldn't just be sort of, you know, farming it out to somebody? And it was really fun to me to watch how frightened a lot of the old newspaper people were of you breaking stuff. They're so dismissive and so quick to say, it's just that internet stuff.
Because they didn't want to work. They didn't want to have the editor call them up and say, will you go chase this? They would rather just wait for the press conference, wait for the open locker room, wait for the natural opportunity, and not be bothered at 10 o'clock at night to have to pick up a phone and start calling people to confirm something that they didn't originally report. That's why they would get mad.
The number of arguments I would get into, it's like, he's going to get in trouble with some of this stuff. I said, yeah, here's the thing. He's an attorney. And he's aware of the law of what can be said and what can't be said. It's like Harvey Levin was doing it with TMZ. And so it's like, the guy knows the law in a way where you might kind of want to start paying attention to some of this rather than dismissing it.
Well, and you know what my attitude at the time was as well. If anybody wanted to sue me, they could just have the keys to the site because there wasn't anything there anyway. Now it would be a different attitude. Right. Now we're more careful. But back then, hey, we'll just shut down and go away.
You just think about how much the nature of breaking news has changed since that started, since the internet has come up and been a big part of the NFL. They've not only, like, you know, crafted their off-season schedule to make sure that guys like you and us, we always have something breaking to chase down. And it's been kind of the same thing. They've created this extra storyline. I guess it's natural. I mean, it is 100 years since the league started, but they have this great way of adding into their own news cycle as they go and creating this extra content for themselves. Really, it's a pretty good marketing gig.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that they've always been aware of, even before the NFL became this big. I remember when I was a kid and I would see the pictures from the 50th season where they had the patches. Now, I don't think they had quite the same big deal they do now, but I remember the 75th season. That felt actually like a bigger deal than this one because of all the throwback uniforms, because back in those days you could actually wear more than one helmet during the course of the season. They've got this stupid rule now, even where, like, most of the colleges will have seven different helmets over the course of the year. You can only have one helmet, and they can't have it painted any different color. So it really does eliminate. It could have been a special season if we could have had the Buccaneers in the old Bucko Bruce uniforms, the Patriots in the old Pat Patriot. Yeah. I mean, and that's how it was in 1994 for the 75th season, and we're really going to be missing that for the 100th season. It's a shame that they have that rule in place because I think it's unnecessary. But this is all part of the we care about brains. So, and I don't want to diminish that.
Kinda.
Yeah, but no. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's too far. It's too much. The idea that not having a second helmet or that having a second helmet in some way affects your ability to manage and avoid concussions, it makes no sense to me.
You've been through rehearsals for NBC, so you know what the storylines are, what the talking points are. Are we going to be surprised by any of them? A little sneak preview?
Not really. No, I think it's all pretty obvious. The thing is that when you are producing a show that is the first pregame of the year, there are a lot of people out there who don't pay attention to this stuff from the end of the Super Bowl until the start of the season. So we need to educate people. And for the people who are hardcore fans, it's going to be stuff they already know. But we want to cater to the folks who are dialing in, saying, hey, it's football season. Let's turn it on. What did we miss? And one of the surprises that people may have is this concept of replay review for pass interference and how that hovers over these early weeks. Will it be a big deal? Will it cause an outcry? Will it bog down games? How much control will Al Riveron, the senior VP of officiating, have over the process? And I think there's a lot of people that just don't even realize that's a thing. And that's one of the things we're going to specifically make sure people understand tonight.
Do you feel like broadcasters, play-by-play guys, as best you can understand it, have an idea of how to handle these things when they pop up, specifically with the pass interference? Like, is there a procedure? Do you break out, open up your coded, you know, step-by-step procedure of how to diagnose what happened and go to your whatever official is on the broadcast?
The NFL meets with every broadcast partner at some point before the season starts, and there's an officiating section where rule changes are discussed. So, obviously, the big item this year was how replay review of pass interference works. So, everybody's up to speed on what needs to be said. And part of it is making sure the audience understands what it is and what it isn't. The problem is a lot of us don't understand what it's going to be and what it's not going to be, and we won't know until it actually is used. And two general observations I'll make. When a flag is thrown for pass interference, rarely, if ever, is the replay process going to result in that flag being picked up. Because you would have to have...
The standard of evidence is just too high.
You'd have to have phantom contact. There would have to be, you watch the replay, I didn't even touch the guy. That's what it would have to be, because if there's any contact, Al Riveron is not going to overturn the call of interference. And another glitch that is going to upset some people when it happens, defensive pass interference, clear, obvious, shove. Watch the replay. Quarterback's still in the ball, the ball's still in the quarterback's hand. It's not pass interference if the ball's in the quarterback's hand. It's illegal contact.
I was just going to say, it would then be